No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/hailmary. That's hims.com/hailmary for your free online visit. hims.com/hailmary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
I used to love my morning coffee until it stopped loving me back. The bloating, the discomfort, it just wasn't worth it anymore. Then I found Everyday Dose, coffee with benefits. It's real coffee blended with mushrooms, collagen, and nootropics. Now I get my morning ritual without the crash or the discomfort. The Black Friday sale is on. Get 61% off your first coffee plus starter kit, a free A2 probiotic creamer, and over $100 in free gifts. Plus, you could win $100 cash or even get your entire order refunded. Head to everydaydose.com/podcast or use code podcast at checkout.
This is The Joe Gaither Show on BamaCentral.com.
We're scanning the scene in the city tonight. We're looking for you to start up a fight. There's an evil feeling in our brains, but it's nothing new. You know it drives us insane, running our own way. Hiding you'll pay, dying 1,000 deaths, running on our way, hiding you'll pay. God, they were lyricists, weren't they? Dying 1,000 deaths. Come on now. Searching. Seek and destroy. Seek and destroy. Searching. Seek and destroy. I see ya. Mason Woods, what's on your pregame playlist? Something that heavy? Something that, Metallica. Not that lyrically,
It took me a second there. I was really confused.
Keeps going. There's no escape, and that's for sure. This is the end we won't take anymore. Say goodbye to the world you live in. You've always been taking, and now you're given. Giving and living. Living, giving. Who wrote these songs? Welcome in. It's the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central. We'll make sense in just a moment. Right here on the Bama Central YouTube channel, on my own Facebook pages. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Amazon, Spotify. It is the Friday edition of the program. We appreciate everybody jumping in and joining us on the comment section on the Facebook machine. You can find us at JoeGaither6, at MAWoods_ on the Twitter machine. You can find us at Bama Central. We're going to have a lot of fun hanging out in the Derek Daniels State Farm Studios, talking music, talking Ryan Grubb. What gets you fired up? And so we're going to get right into it with Mason Woods. He's going to have an episode of All Things Bama today. So make sure you find that podcast as well on all your podcast outlets. You can make sure you're clicking on that on the Bama Central homepage, Alabama Crimson Tide on SI. Our friend Katie Windham has the early opponent preview with the Wisconsin Badgers right there on the cover. So if you want to get to know, what is it, Chesma Lucy playing running back still for the Badgers? You want to figure out, they fired their offensive coordinator a couple weeks after the Alabama game. You know, they lost your quarterback in knee injury on like the second drive that year. So Katie Windham wrote all about the Wisconsin Badgers for our morning cover. But we want to start, well, first by asking Mason Woods good morning and tying the weird intro together. I admit, I acknowledge it, with pregame playlist. Ryan Grubb yesterday saying the last song I listened to before entering a stadium, and it has been for quite a few years now, Metallica, Seek and Destroy. So those lyrics getting him fired up to go put up 100 points.
That's a pretty good choice. It's pretty good place to start right there. I guess that's where he finishes it. But I'm trying to think of what I was in charge of our like high school's football team's playlist.
Oh, DJ Mason.
And I remember having to, we had to submit it to the administration to get it approved beforehand. And I think I went like 2 for 20 on songs getting approved, like nothing. So I don't even remember a lot of the ones I tried to get in there now. There was definitely the ones that did get approved were probably like Metallica.
Jump Around.
That might have been in there. Yeah. Some of the more, you know, rap oriented songs may have been not allowed, but that's what we were listening to.
Basically, if it was on what, Jock Jams 1, Jock Jams 2, that's too old. That's too old for you, Mason, isn't it?
I remember Jock Jams.
Yeah. But basically, if it made the Space Jam playlist, it was approved. Pump it up, dun, 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 that up. So yeah, Ryan Grubb yesterday, spending some time with Ryan Fowler on 100.9. We'll talk about some of his topics today. We will talk about Zakai Ziegler today. I wrote a couple of different things out, and now I've lost my notes because my computer's acting a little funny, but we're getting on track today on a Friday. We're going to have a lot of fun talking a little recruiting, talking a little of this, talking a little of that. Oh my gosh, there's math teacher lyrics on this in this page. That's not what I'm looking for. We'll get into that later in the summer as basketball season. I have teased that to a couple of people. That actually is going to happen this year. So
speaking of basketball, yeah, Alabama jumping back into the recruiting game a little bit. I think it was yesterday announcing 5-star point guard. Now I am blanking on his name.
If it's not Caleb Holt, I don't care. Keep going.
He's going to be here on September 13th this year, but of course now I can't remember his name. I know I tweeted it out yesterday. Let me see if I can get it pulled up here in a second if my computer wants to cooperate with me. But again, I mean, back to previous conversations we've had about, yeah, Alabama, just interesting the route they've chosen to take with how they're releasing news and things. What they want to do. That's what they want
to
do, though.
Yeah, we're trying to make sure that you subscribe to Yay Alabama. Greg Byrne, actually, one of his comments the other day when he was on with Ryan Fowler was that the Yay Alabama was going to be getting more into the content game. Greg, we'd love to have you on the show to chat about that. We think the content doesn't need to be news. Now, recruiting and visits, that's a little more your lane because not everybody knows, not everybody has that information. Sure. But definitely, I think that is put that behind the paywall. I think that's a good little lane. It sinks for Mason, absolutely, and he'll work around that. We'll continue to, you know, we talked about it on Tuesday in one of our staff meetings, a way that you can work around it a little bit.
Darren Rippey Jr. is the 5-star point guard.
Darren Rippey Jr.
Yeah, they're 6'2". Point guard, as from the very brief scouting report that I read on him, not the best shooter, but I think he has improved significantly over the last year.
Can he get to the rim and pass?
Seems like that's what he's better at, is maybe being a bit of a facilitator.
There you go. Get to the rim and pass the and kick it out to the three. That's what we need from you, our point guard. Darren
Rippey.
What a name. Rippey. Darren Rippey Jr. and Caleb Holt pairing them together. Whew.
We'll see.
What do you think about old Caleb Holt?
Everything I have seen, everything I have read, very, very good.
Caleb Holt, I read a comment the other day that said he's the most important recruit in the class for Nate Oates. And really, look, Nate Oates will always pivot and bring the best groups that he can bring in. I think, Caleb, I think you've got to, whatever the number is, coach, just on the reputation factor alone, you spent 2 years at Buckhorn, win 2 state championships at Buckhorn. Then you go across the state. I think it was Grayson Academy, Grayson High School in Georgia last season as a junior, and now has transferred to Prolific Prep. Now, Prolific Prep has moved from California. You remember Aiden Sherrell and Darian Reed are Prolific Prep products. It was a California-based school. Now it's Fort Lauderdale, maybe taxes in Florida make that a little more conducive to have this select basketball academy.
I mean, they're all taking their classes online and stuff anyway.
Of course,
so it doesn't really matter that much where the school is held.
We need two professors. We need two professors. You got 3 subjects. You got 3 subjects. You guys can take hour on, hour off, hour on, hour off. And we're going to give you about 4 hours a day. So y'all get two lessons to work through. We'll smack lunch in between, and then it's all day basketball.
The lives of and I've just heard like players who have done interviews and things now that they're at the professional level, so I guess it does work. But people that have gone to these schools like the IMGs and things, like just hearing them talk about their high school experiences it is such a just insane night and day difference from what just the average high school student is dealing with. Like, it is, they are fully on the level of, you know, like the same level of preparation that a lot of colleges are doing for their, for, you know, athletic programs, whatever sport you're in. It is that much dedication to it. And to start that from the time you're, you know, 15 or whatever is really, really insane.
Absolutely. I could not fathom it. Now, I had a couple friends that went to a soccer type program like that. And I just think that wild experience. Wild experience, and I hope that those guys ended up making it. I don't have a clue right there. All right, so what do we want to get into, Mason? I sent you a couple of things. And I lost my notes because I had it copied and whatever. No big deal. I sent you a couple of things I want to do.
Sure.
I want to talk about recruiting. I want to talk about Zakai Ziegler. I want to talk. Here's some of my notes here. I want to talk about the NBA and why you guys aren't watching the finals. And then we'll kind of see where we go from there. You want to start with recruiting real quick and just a concept, because I think we'll get into more recruiting on all things Bama. But yesterday, Courtney Morgan goes out and drops the elephant emoji, and all of us go scrambling into our drafts and making sure, do we got enough? Do we have the right guys in the draft ready to go? And we're not going to sit here and spoil their commitments, but we think that a couple of guys are coming down the pipe. Hayes Fawcett, basically, Hayes Fawcett on 3Sports, basically goes out there and says, three times. Mm-hmm. And, of course, these guys are not, Courtney Morgan and Hayes Fawcett are not going to spoil their respective players' announcements. Courtney Morgan wanting to, obviously, celebrate his future players, and Hayes Fawcett wanting to keep relationships strong. So, obviously, you know, no spoiling here. But do you feel like, for Courtney Morgan, it's different because he's got the information, and he's celebrating, somebody told me they committed, and they're going to announce it on their own time.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. And I'm just letting you know, we got somebody in here. I have zero issue with Hayes Fawcett as a content machine. I know a lot of people last few years have been, your graphics aren't as good as people think they are. Yeah. I think they're fine enough for me. I have zero issue with them. And when they pop out, I'm like, cool. Do you feel like he's right dropping this? Actually, it's three guys. When tease. And, of course, all the Alabama fans go into the comments and say, Billy Smith, Johnny Smith, Charlie Smith. It's going to be five-star this, five-star that, five-star that, you know. And they're all excited and great. But Hayes Fawcett's just doing it for, just doing it for clicks.
Yeah. I mean, you know, yes and no. I guess I don't really have a problem with, like you said, just teasing it because he probably very likely, you know, this, we all know who Hayes Fawcett is. He's a fairly well connected in this recruiting space, has a lot of relationships with a lot of these players and things like that. So I would imagine that he is not, I'm pretty sure, you know, I would think he's got pretty good information at least. I would imagine he has probably not the same, you know, not as much information as Courtney Morgan, maybe not all the details that Courtney Morgan has, but as far as general ideas, he's probably got similar. You know, he's probably heard about the same thing. So I imagine he's putting this out there with the kind of a similar thought process of Courtney Morgan of like, hey, I know something's coming. Let's get these fans riled up. Sure. So I understand it from that point. But like you said, also, there's not really any value. You know, there's no like, you're not gaining any, no one is getting any valuable information from seeing elephant times three with an Alabama gif of the players running out of the tunnel. You know, you're not telling me anything. You're not revealing anything to anyone other than like this tweet, something's going to come up soon. So, you know, I don't know. I understand it, but I don't love it. I feel like maybe this is once you're sure when that player is ready to make his announcement, then you drop that elephant times three emoji an hour before or something.
Yeah, Billy Smith, 5-star, says, hey, today's the day, 2:00.
And then you say, all right, noon today, I'm dropping this. Hey, everybody, watch out, Bama fans, not, you know, whatever time, and we have no idea who's going to commit now because this was, you know, almost 24 hours ago, you tweet this out, and here we are with no commitments.
Yeah, and I don't really want to be like, look, the media game's hard. I don't really want to be attacking Hayes that much, but it's my speculation. It's my speculation that Courtney Morgan got from somebody, hey, man, I want lock me in, right? Great. I'll announce it on X date. He tells Hayes Fawcett, or the recruit does this, that, and the other. I bet you Hayes has three graphics sitting in the tank, ready to go. And that's the real, you know, that's what he's getting at. Is like, yeah, maybe the announcement dates, the times of announcement dates aren't exactly known. Jaire Edwards is going to announce on July 5th, the day after. Look, good for you. Don't do it on July 4th. Don't do that. Get your moment the day after the holiday. Jaire Edwards going on July 5th. You got a lot of guys coming up. So Darian Morgan, look, you listen to Mason Woods on All Things Bama. I don't want to spoil that episode. But to me, I think Hayes probably got a little nugget of information, went and made a graphic, and was excited about his graphic because, look, it's his work. And, sure, you know, I think he does good work.
I don't really understand the issue people have with it. The man is making hundreds of these, probably. Like, if one of them has a slight error, like, it's okay, cut the man a little slack or something. Like, or if it's not, you know, up to your Photoshop standard, like, it's not that deep, y'all. You know, there's a reason that these kids continue to come to him over and over again to release this information.
1,000%. And I think it's apparently, I mean, it may just be an Alabama issue. It may just be an Alabama fan base issue, because isn't he a well-known LSU guy, LSU fan, LSU grad, LSU, I think he is.
I don't know.
And what was it, about a year and a half ago, everybody goes, oh, Hayes mails it in for the Alabama graphics. Hayes doesn't put in the same effort for Alabama graphics than he does for everybody.
Man, I have never noticed that.
Yeah, I really haven't either. And maybe my scrutiny is not that good, but
I think
that's like people looking for something to be offended by.
Bingo. I think a lot of times Alabama fans, given their status in college football over the last 15 or so years, like to, you know, find ways to make themselves a victim in situations.
Rat poison. We live off the rat poison. We live off the disrespect.
Oh, they hate Alabama. They're rooting against Alabama. It's like, no, it's just referees are bad everywhere.
Preach. Well, they're paid. And like every single Alabama game that I've ever watched, and my friend, Alabama will get a favorable call, sure, but just because that's the way it goes. I also don't get favorable calls because that's what it's, yeah, not. Because the refs suck. That's what it is.
You watch an Alabama football game with an Alabama fan, and then whoever's rooting for the other team, you will hear both people say they're rooting against us. They hate us. They're, yeah, trying to make us lose.
Yes, yes. Well, you know, Nick Saban paid the refs.
And then it'll be, well, they're so sick of Alabama winning, they're trying to make them lose.
And it just makes me like, do you hear each other?
This is just what the NCAA wants. They want everybody to be blind to the real issue, and it's just that they don't train referees enough.
Yes.
Well, how do we even get here?
Hayes Fawcett disrespecting the tide. No, he's, yeah, not. I don't think he is at all.
No. I've never noticed that myself.
All right, so yesterday I will say that we did record some videos about some of these prospects, and you got them planned to talk about all things Bama, don't you?
I mean,
just a hair,
yeah, a little bit, yeah, just kind of throwing it out there that this might be happening.
Perfect. So we'll talk about the three guys that we prepared for on Mason's edition of All Things Bama. We encourage you to subscribe, rate, and review. Find All Things Bama. He puts it out once a week, and you know, yesterday if you missed us on Friday, Mason. I felt so bad. Mason led All Things Bama, and every time he threw it to me, I go, uh-huh, yeah, I think you're right. Uh-huh, yeah, good, yeah, I agree with you. I was so MIA in the brain. You know, obviously, I put out that taking a sick day. Mason, sure, carried his whole podcast, and he goes, well, what do you think about Alabama doing this? And I was like, yeah, no, it's good.
Hey, it worked. You know, we needed you there for moral support. You know?
Absolutely. Let's chat about NCAA eligibility and a good thing that happened yesterday.
So good.
Zakai Ziegler, go get a job.
This is not, yes, obviously we are going to dance on Zakai Ziegler a little bit here, but this is genuinely not just me about me dancing on Zakai Ziegler is great. Like, this is a very good precedent to set, that you no longer can just turn around and sue the NCAA to get whatever you want, possibly.
Yeah, Zakai Ziegler had his injunction denied. Basically, he was trying to sue for another year of eligibility. He's played four at Tennessee and wanted a fifth year playing because, well, I didn't redshirt. I should get that fifth year. No, that's not the fifth year is in case you get injured. The fifth year is in case you transferred. Sorry. Yeah, that's off the table. But it's in case, you need to put on 15 pounds of muscle. Yeah. You weren't ready for the college game, or maybe it's because grandpa got sick and you were at whatever. To pick your circumstance, it's a freebie for saying, hey, you had some extenuating circumstances or you weren't quite ready to be competitive. Zakai Ziegler, you fit in, well, I don't know your exact personal life, but you played for 4 years.
Yeah.
You're the, off the top of my head, I'm pretty sure he's the Tennessee's career leader in assists. Like, you stack that up over 4 years worth of playing, and he's talking about, oh, well, you're limiting my earning potential because I could. Your earning potential is in Greece. Your earning potential is in Italy, is in China, is in Israel, wherever you want to play, pro ball. That's where your next earning potential is.
Yeah, you should have thought about that earning potential the last 4 years when you were getting, whatever BS degree you potentially have. You knew that you were a little guy. You knew you probably weren't going to go to the NBA, Zakai. I don't think this is a shock to you that you get here at the end of your college career and it's like, oh, what, the NBA doesn't want me? You should have seen this coming. Maybe you should have planned a little better. I'm very glad that this happened.
If Zakai Ziegler, it wouldn't happen, but if Zakai had this injunction and had it approved, the NBA draft's like next week. I think it's June 20th, maybe.
I think you're right.
Does Mark Shears follow up? Hey, y'all got those extra scholarships, Greg. I know you have at least one open spot for Alabama, but you guess you're probably bumped to 15 and not 13. So you got three open. Yeah. Hey, Grant, we're going to sue.
Right back, boys.
Yeah, we're going to sue. We're going to sue the NCAA and bring Mark and Grant back. And it's just like, what do we do? Like, this is not about you, guys, specifically. No. Like, even if, would I love to see another year of Mark Shears? You're dang right. Absolutely.
But it's not right.
Exactly. It's time to let LeBaron Filon. Yes. It's time to let Aiden Holloway. It's time to let the next crop of players come through, get their opportunity. I mean, look, Zakai, you go back to Tennessee and you are the starting point guard because you by the best player there on the team. Aren't you limiting someone else's earning potential? Aren't you limiting another Tennessee Vols earning potential because their minutes have now been taken from 20 to 12 or pick your ratio, 18 to 6 minutes a game. Like, you're then jobbing, you're then screwing over the next crop of a player. So, like, you got to move on. And NCAA, you've got, like, this all happened because of COVID. Still, we're still dealing with COVID fallout.
It messed everything up so bad.
I'm going to get my extra year. And I also redshirted, like, so you're now defaulted for 6 years.
Okay.
And then maybe you take a medical redshirt and get a 70. Like, it just stacked onto itself so much. And then, of course, it's just, well, if you don't like it, just sue. Good on the inside. You got to start moving these people up. Yeah. Get back to 5 years to play for. Oh, you played all four. Have a great life,
buddy. Yeah. Good. This is good. I hope that we see more of this when, if players continue to take this route. I hope that now, if they have a legitimate claim, sure, sue the NCAA all you want. They're a horrible, corrupt organization. But if you're just trying to take advantage of the system, I hope that they deny you.
All right, let's keep this on the Tennessee track and something a little strange. This one I will make fun of you a bit more because I have no ill will for you, Zakai Ziegler, and I have no.
Yeah, no.
It's not about, you playing at Tennessee. Yeah,
it was not. You just so happened to play at Tennessee and be the guy that got here. This could have been anybody, and we would have had the same opinion.
Well. I don't really even like this story is so strange.
There's so many twists and turns and there's so much. Yeah, no, I don't even know where to begin with it.
Chris Walsh, do I need to write this? Do I need to aggregate the story just because it's so wild? Headlines right now. If you type in Grant Freerking, I think is how we're going to say his name. Freerking. And I sent this to my Tennessee buddy and he goes, I've never heard of him. And he's a really big Tennessee fan. So, like, he's up on it. Does he have any statistics for the football team? Because I'm pretty sure he was basically walk-on status. Walk on receiver, 6 years, 13 career games, 3 career catches. Three career catches for you, Grant, and that should be your legacy. Instead, your legacy is about to be something else. Grant Freerking, his bio you can still see up on utsports.com, which I'm a little surprised at.
Yeah.
But if you're not paying attention to Knoxville News or to any real SEC outlets, apparently this joker was working for On3 Sports. And was it Wednesday that I saw this? Wednesday, I see Shannon Terry essentially put a tweet out. On3 Sports is aware of an employee, a former employee. Yeah, aware of a former employee's bad behavior and, you know, unscrupulous behavior, this, that, and the other. He is no longer working. And he never named names. Mm-hmm. He's like, he no longer works here. We're investigating at the fullest extent. Just know that On3 Sports upholds the values, sure. X, Y, Z, ABC, all the, you know, PR statement about we fired a guy.
Hit all the dots.
And I'm thinking, who is it? I don't know who you just fired.
No idea.
You're like, okay.
Because the way the statement read was like, oh, this might be someone like pretty big up at all, you know, like is this gonna be like a major contributor or something? Is this gonna be someone that a lot of people are really
Charlie Potter?
With? Yes.
Well, no, I love you, Charlie. He'll laugh at that. Sure.
But you know what I'm saying? Like, I was like, oh man, this could be, you know, I mean, I don't know who it could have been. Anybody, any of their big major people that you see all over social media.
You get people in the comments writing their least favorite writer.
Yes.
Their least favorite writer. And it's just like, Billy Sports Writer. Yep. Fire. Oh, I hope it was Billy Sports Writer. It was like, I don't know who it is. Like, I had no idea.
No clue.
And I was like, okay, well, this doesn't concern me. They fired somebody. Sucks for them. Hope it works out.
I just
whatever.
Went on.
And then I get, I don't know if someone sent this to me or just came across the timeline. Knox News, Mike Wilson was who I first got it from. And then it just started to spread. Mike Wilson writes an article, how Grant Freerking went from Tennessee football player to CEO millionaire to scams and legal mess. I was like, Tennessee football player. The first thing I thought was CEO millionaire. Like this whole headline, great job, Mike Wilson. We yes. talked SEO yesterday. We talked SEO. What would make you click on a story?
That right there.
Yeah. I go, first, who the heck is Grant Freerking? Second, Tennessee football CEO millionaire. And you read that fella apparently started, I think it's a logistics company.
I thought it was like a mulch and like ground cover company.
Okay. It was
like pine straw mulch and stuff like that. Maybe it was just for the shipping.
I think
that?
It was a shipping. Okay. I think it's a shipping company. This is from, here's a Metro. Okay. Metro Straw. You're right. Okay. Pretend to work for Metro Straw. Now, I thought it was a shipping company, but his former ground cover business. Yes. Okay. Dumb Joe did not really process all of it together. Well, I mean,
that plays into it, though, is that I believe that is kind of the crux of his issues here is that it's a lot of unfulfilled orders where the product was not indeed shipped.
Okay, so thank you for this reshift because I thought it was this is a shipping business and mm-hmm. I just connected you with Pine Straw. It happened to be, you know.
Yeah.
Mulch and wood sure. and 2x4s or whatever the case may be. No, it is a Metro Straw, his former ground cover business. Okay, so apparently started this as a young kid and made some money with it. Good for him. And then I don't really even know, but gets out of school and essentially has made some promises about orders mm-hmm. that never get fulfilled. Hey, man, pay me up front. Pay me half up front, half later, half now. And these people are starting to chat. Oh, he's in Metro Straw. I guess when you make a business that big, when you make a business to that success level, you stop being in charge and it becomes a more of a board situation. I think they ousted him is how I read this. Mm. Is it was his business that he started, and to make it legit and make it big boy, we're gonna get a board. We're gonna get the powers that be. And the powers that be and ended up being like, you're going to kill this company, my friend, and ousted him. He then continues to act like he is in charge mm-hmm. or act like he's a lead sales guy, maybe not in charge anymore, but just a sales figure.
Certainly about acting as a representative of the company.
Yes. And, okay, you just heard the story again. He promises orders of mulch and pine straw and this, that, and the other and never delivers.
And I think he took, what'd you say? He took half pay, or like up half payment up front or something. So, you know, a substantial amount of money. If anyone's not aware, those things cost a lot of money to cover a lot of ground with pine straw or mulch or anything. So yeah, I'm sure he was receiving, you know, thousands of dollars for these orders.
What's the mulch section look like at Home Depot?
Oh, I don't know.
I'm just saying, like, as far as,
you know, $20 for a 50-pound bag or something like that.
And right, and that covers, has no cover.
Yeah, I mean, that's a, you know, I don't even know how much, but very little. You know, people are walking out of there with 15, 20 bags of that stuff at least, usually, and that's to do, like, their garden at their house. These people, as I understand, it was more of like a commercial thing, and they were ordering really large amounts of this stuff.
Yikes. So,
he's probably dealing with, you know, 5-6-figure deals here.
Gained attention that would be unusual for a scholarship player because he claimed business success as the former CEO and founder of Metro Straw, which began in Metro Atlanta, where he's from. Metro Straw was so uncomfortable with Friedkin's business practices that the company posted a warning in the spring on its website saying, do not deal with this guy. A customer paid him and never received product, told Knox News that he worked for Metro Straw. In an undated text, Metro Straw declares, Metro Straw and former owner Grant Friedkin have parted ways for 2 years. Metro Straw does not associate with Grant Friedkin in any way. Metro Straw did not immediately return phone calls and emails to Knox News. And so this turns into, this story spins about three more times. Now, I don't really, look, pay your bills and represent yourself well and represent sure. yourself above board. That's not really the reason why I talked, why I wanted to bring this up. Yeah, a little bit of laughing at Tennessee and a little bit of
just wild, this weird sports media story.
Exactly. Yeah. What really brought this home to me was his involvement mm-hmm. with NIL, his involvement with On3 Sports. Apparently, you look at, what is that, 40? Oh, let me control F40. Yeah, 40. I mean, there's a bunch of, he said 39. Was that what it is? 29. 30 people under sport. Basically, he was named to a list.
Oh, it was 25, I
25.
Think.
Okay, yeah.
It is now 24. It was top 25.
Yes. All right.
Influential names in NIL or something.
I was just control effing the article. Yeah. So yeah, in 2022, On3 Sports named Friedkin one of the 25 most influential figures in NIL. Apparently, the fella served as president of On3 Sports NIL University and director of athlete network development. He had also been a point person for On3 Sports major NIL events that focused on contract negotiations, tax education, bringing in celebrity speakers like Livy Dunn, Kirk Kerbstreet, a bunch of chief marketing officers, mm-hmm. and for Fortune 100 brands. So basically, he landed himself a job with Shannon Terry to help guide people in the NIL space.
Yeah.
And it seems like he was a total phony.
Seemingly, yes, which is, I mean, I don't know, because, you know, I'm still, like, unclear on the history of this business, if it was, like, something that he started when he was in, like, high school or something, and really it was just himself, or it's, like, a family thing, and he kind of took it over and then stepped into it. You know, I don't really know exactly the origin, so it's... Because I understand where there would be value in, oh, hey, this is a student athlete that started a business that reached very high peaks. Like, let's get this guy in to talk to other athletes about those kinds of opportunities.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, I understand that, the thought process there. But if all of that, him building this business, if all of that was fake, then yeah, like, it's just a complete fraud. You scammed a lot of people here. You have fooled a lot of folks, Grant Friedkin. But again, I'm just still even unclear on how this business started.
And so what brings this home to me was, like, this is just an illustration of how shady the NIL space has been. How, you know what, Mason? We just need to say that we're sports agents now. We're going to say that we're, look, any of you Alabama athletes, we're agents. We're agents, and we can represent you, and we can land you $1 million deals. And we'll take 20%.
Yeah, I'll take a 10% lifetime deal. I'll just take 10% of whatever you earn for the rest of your life. That's nothing. You can sign that right now. That's 10%. You're still getting 90.
I'll work hard. Come I'll work on, so buddy. Hard for you. Yeah. Look at all these deals that
I'm just going to take a little bit. You know, don't worry about that potential $70 million contract you'll sign one day. You don't get none of that. You're still going to get 90% of it. That's how these people sell these kids on these things. Like, and God love them. A lot of them do not have the understanding of finance and things because they are children. to really combat any of it. They hear, oh, this big number, whatever it is. Oh, I'm still going to make the majority of my money. Cool. Yeah, sure. Sign away my rights to this guy who isn't even a real agent. It's very sad the way that they these athletes are getting preyed on by these people.
And so let's spin it back to UT. Obviously, he was a walk-on who we just said, what, three catches, 13, 14 games of his career. So, like, all right, that's about as good as you want to do, about as good as you can, I mean, do for a walk-on receiver slash tight end.
Nobody can take those catches away from him.
But Tennessee might have a problem here. Freer King, this is now from Yahoo Sports, Adam Sparks, Knoxville News Sentinel. Mm-hmm. Freer King has also served as a part-time consultant to UT football since July 2023. His duties included advising Coach Josh Heupel on off-field matters, consulting staff members on best practices, and representing the Vols program at public events. UT paid Freer King $30,000 for the last 2 years. His current contract expires June 30, so 10-15 days or so. But he no longer works for UT, and the university does not owe him any additional pay. UT paid Freer King $7,500 every 6 months, according to the term of the contract. The final payment was this past January, January 1. UT spokesman Jason Baum told Knox News on June 12th that Freer King hasn't done any recent work on campus and his contract will not be renewed.
How involved was this Freer King fellow with this Nico Amaliava saga?
I would imagine. Oh, does the timeline match up from July 23?
Ooh, it might be a little early.
Okay. According to Freer King's UT contract, his duties as a consultant included advising and consulting football coaches on best practices to navigate the current college football climate, assisting and advising Heupel and staff on off-field matters related to the program, both internally and externally, aiding in future development of the program by speaking on panels and attending events, which included numerous appearances on the Paul Feinbaum Show, guiding communication effort with external parties and partners to ensure program success, and maintaining a presence on campus monthly to meet, guide, and assist with the program staff, players, and frequently available via phone or Zoom. Property records show that Freer King lived in Nashville. That's another issue. I asked my girlfriend, I said, do you know this area? And she said, oh yeah, it's super nice. And she was like, there's a penthouse up there that I felt like, you know, always wondered who lived there. Apparently homeboy fella gets kicked out of not one, but two different apartments in this really nice area of Nashville, and allegedly owes $16,000-$17,000 in back pay rent, in unpaid rent.
Whew. Hooey. You have dug yourself in a hole, Mr. Grant Freer King. Sounds like, and again, I don't know
scammer.
Yes, just sounds like con man from the jump. Like, just a good con man. Like, very good at talking himself up, convincing people that he knows what he's talking about, and unfortunately, a lot of those people will fell for it.
I need to take 1% of that skill set.
Yeah, just a little bit.
Because I'm just
There's value in a touch of it.
I'm
not going to scam people.
Right,
but
be ethical, but like his...
the confidence and the gusto just to do that. Yeah, no, it's pretty wild.
If I agree to something and then don't do it, the internal feeling of just, you're a piece of garbage. Yes. Oh, you stink. Oh, you can't ask for anything else because you didn't live up to asking for him to just be like, yeah, man, give me X dollars for this mulch that I don't have.
And like, you know, who's ordering mulch? Probably
good old boys.
Yes. They
hard probably, workers.
Good, hardworking people who do not need to be scammed out of lots of money.
Yes. And just nuts to me. Absolutely nuts. So
I feel like there will certainly be more to this story that we probably
there has to be.
Yeah, that gets revealed over the coming weeks, months, maybe.
You think Tennessee's going to be, I don't know.
Was there anything, and maybe I'm just making this up, because was there anything that where he had been connected with there with Tennessee's NIL collective?
Yeah,
at all?
What was it called? Spire?
Spire.
Something?
I thought that I had read something in that article where he had been, I don't remember what exactly it was, but he had some sort of ties with their
SPY,
collective.
Right?
I believe so.
Sphere. Well, I can't.
But again, maybe I'm just making those connections in my head.
Oh, I've messed up this website. Keep on reading. No, I don't want to keep on reading. I want to go back to the article I was reading. AI, you're killing me, Smalls. But yeah, I think he was somewhat connected to this.
Here we go. He was a board member for Volunteer Legacy, a nonprofit org within the framework of NIL. Oh, and now it wants me to disable my ad blocker. Thank you, Knox News. Give me a second. Okay, come on. This is not working. My computer is
In late 2022, by Spire Sports, the collective that pays UT athletes for their NIL rights, Spire CEO and co-founder James Clausen told Knox News that Freerking was never an employee of Spire. Okay. Board members of any organization are not involved with the day-to-day operation. So, was on the board, but never an employee.
Sure.
And not involved in day-to-day operations.
That feels like a, hey, we can technically say that he had no hand at anything that was happening, so let's do that.
Frequent presence on the Vols sidelines. He was seen smoking cigars with Josh Heupel after beating Alabama. Oh, man. And, like, look, for Tennessee, for the Paul Feinbaum show, and even for Shannon Terry, like, of course, I don't have any inkling that these guys are like, yeah, I'm gonna just hire the scammer. I'm just gonna keep the scammer around. This guy's a bad guy. We're just gonna keep him around and elevate him and X, Y. I don't think any of that. I think that
they were unfortunately fooled by this gentleman.
Yes. Shannon Terry, I'm sorry for you, bro. I know that he's not always a super popular person everywhere, but sounds like you got God.
Yeah.
And Paul Feinbaum, sounds like you got God.
Yeah, and I don't want it to sound like we're saying that, like, they're stupid for getting caught or anything, because it sounds like this guy had a very convincing, like, everything checked out, you know, but it seemed like at least everything checked out until you just dug into it a little deeper, and, oh, you realize, oh, well, he's not fulfilling these orders now, but, you know, it seems like for a while there, like, a lot of what he was doing at least looked legit.
Do you remember, were you working with us at Tide when we would get a phone call every other day from this fella? Who, I'm a championship boxer. Can I get a promotion? I'm a championship boxer. Gary Harris knows me. I'm a championship boxer. Ryan Fowler knows me. And I'd be like, well, do you want to just be on the air and like have a phone call like everybody else? No, I want to set up an interview. I want to set up my next fight's coming up. My next fight's coming up, and I want to, you know, tell everybody about it and get people to come. And like every time I would Google him, nothing. No fight information, no nothing. No, and like, I would obviously not hold that up from Gary or from Ryan and be like, hey guys,
just FYI. I can't
remember his name, but so-and-so called, says he's a boxer in Mississippi and has a fight coming up and wants to, and both of them were fully aware of this villain. They're like, nope. He's I think that.
Is he like the guy that, you know, Deontay Wilder beat up, who just made a living off of calling people out on the internet and saying he was a champion boxer? And is like, I guess, sure, you can say that about yourself. I can't remember that guy's name now, but this is a wild story.
Nuts. Absolutely nuts. So
I hope that there's more. I am eager for more information to come out about it.
Absolutely.
Shout out to Knox News.
Yeah, great job. Great stuff. We love fun stories like that, especially in the summer.
AI can't recreate investigative journalism.
That's exactly right. You can turn around a press release, I guess, and probably misspell half the things in it.
But you can't do the groundwork.
Nope. All right, mates. I got two more topics for us today, and then we will discontinue and talk all things Bama, where you're going to talk recruiting. You got anything else you want to highlight the people that we're going to talk about on all things Bama?
Oh, I want to get into some of the Greg Byrne comments from this week, a little bit of the Ryan Grubb stuff that he was on with Ryan Fowler yesterday. Had some fun stuff to say about this quarterback room. Hopefully we will discuss that a bit. And then, you know, if we have a little time at the end, we'll get into some of the little odd and end, maybe some of the scheduling things, some of the talk about the Alabama Clemson matchup and the SEC ACC matchup a little bit if we got some time.
I dig it. So join us for all things Bama here in just a minute. Find us on your favorite podcast platforms. Mason running that show once a week. We want to remind you that we're live in the Derek Daniels State Farm Studios just off McFarland Boulevard. You can find us past the Tiger Rock, past the Rustic Rehab on the left, right here on Highway 69. Derek is upstairs. He's got a brand new sign. Did you notice that over the last couple of weeks?
I did. It looks good.
Yeah, got some signage out there, so it's even easier to see the building. Red and Victoria are upstairs. They would love to take your phone call. They would love to talk insurance with you. Look, I don't want to talk insurance. I know, and you probably don't either. They'll make it super easy. 205-758-3391. If you think that you are paying too much with your current insurance carrier, or you think you're not getting good value, or you don't even know your current carrier's name, you just call an 800 number, it's worth the phone call. 205-758-3391. You can run through the quote, and look, you can tell them no if you don't like what you hear, but it is worth the phone call of having a local agent. When I got in a wreck, oh, it's been a long time ago now. It's probably been the last wreck I was in, 2018 or so. To be able to call Derek and say, hey, man, I just messed up. And I got in a wreck. Can you help me out? And he said, yep, do X, Y, Z. We'll get something sent over there. To have somebody that I know, to have someone in town who knows you, knows what street you're on, is super, super important. Not calling an 800 number from halfway across the world and I need to file a claim. You need to file what? The local agent is so important. 205-758-3391. Call and see how much Derek can save you today. All right, so we've been talking NCAA track and field all week long. Oh, please.
I do have one more shout out for our other sponsor, Warren Tire. My good friend of mine had a busted tire this week. Took it up to Warren Tire, got it fixed in a day. And I did not know this, but Warren Tire offers, like, you know, you drop your car off, they'll drive you back home and then come pick you back up when your car is ready. So he was very, very happy with the service there. Got in and out with a really good deal. So shout out Warren Tire.
There we go. We love that. Appreciate that. I know Katie Windham dropped her car off there as well this week.
Bingo.
So we're up to Miss Melissa has done that. We're up to, I know Matt Stahl, AL.com, has done that as well. And we're up to Katie Windham. And now we're up to Mason's mystery friend, JT. I know JT. Yeah. All right. Good on him. I'm glad that he got that taken care of.
I don't know what happened to his tire. He sent me a picture of it. I guess this was probably Tuesday morning, something like that. You know, he woke up that morning, went to get in his car, tried to back out and realized something's not right. And his tire was completely flat. He told me that he got a call while he was waiting on his car, and a gentleman at Warren Tire asked him, did you like hit a sharp piece of metal, or did it looked as if someone had cut his tire. I'm assuming it just somehow was some sort of faulty thing that just blew the sidewall out. But
JT
might have some ops out there.
Some enemies coming and grabbing it. Oh no. Watch out.
You know, they got everything fixed up and they were make sure to let him know exactly what had happened to him potentially.
Good. Good for him. Appreciate Warren Tire. Appreciate Derek Daniel for sponsoring the program.
No one plans for hair loss. But through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
All right, let's keep it moving. We've talked NCAA track and field all week long. Yesterday I missed a lot of it, just for personal issues, personal choices, not issues. That's a better word there. But here's what happened for the ladies in their day one, which is basically the setup, all the semifinals for the finals. Doris Lemon-Golay wins the 3,000 meter steeplechase semifinal. It's disgusting. 9:26:44. 9:26:44. 3,000 meters is just under 2 miles, Mason. Just under 2 miles. It's 1600 for a mile. So 3200. You're a quarter lap short of 2 miles. There's I think it's four different jumps. I think it's three traditional hurdles throughout the laps, and it is the water jump as well. So you're jumping over the bigger hurdle into the water. Lady goes 9:26.44, the fastest time of anyone in the semifinal. So she's going to qualify for Saturday's final, trying to defend her national championship. Megan Albamonte finished 16th in the javelin, so no medal for her. We Marlia Hoylovia finished 9th in the long jump. You've got Mai Jo Williams finished 7th in the shot put. Ternice Hamilton finished 20th in the shot put. So those ladies are done right there. The 200-meter semifinals, Precious Zakur, I'm assuming the N is silent, it finished 20th. She finished in 23:06, which is still blazing. And then in the women's 10,000 meters, Brenda Tulwi finished 8th. So that was a one-off final. She finished 8th. 10,000 meters. What did we decide that was yesterday? 6.25 miles in 32:20.
Matt, no, thank you.
No. And that became the number three. That's the third fastest time for a female in an Alabama uniform. So no, she did not medal, but it is the third fastest time for a lady in an Alabama uniform. You got the heptathlon today with Caitlin Adele. Adele is going to be doing heptathlon 100 meters, high jump. You got men's discus final, Christopher Crawford, Trevor Gunzel, and Christopher Young. You got heptathlon shot put, also Adele. And then, you're going to have a national champion tonight at 8 o'clock. Samuel Ogazi is going to run the 400. He made the final. He had the fastest time in the semifinals of all the heats.
Going to bring it home?
Yeah, I just got chills. Sorry, I just did. Then, of course, Adele is going to continue heptathlon running 200. And then, it's going to be really tough for the fellas to combine again. The 4x400-meter relay final will be the last event of the night. The fellas finished 2nd in their heat. It was the 3rd heat, which was an automatic qualifying position. But I think their time was around 5th, 6th of all the qualifiers. So they're going to have to pull it together a little bit. You got Daniel Chiangwa, Peter Diebold, Samuel Ogazi is running 3rd, and Asuma El Bouchabi is going to bring the anchor leg home. So maybe the boys 4x400-meter relay team can win a medal, pull off an upset, and win the whole dang thing. But I'm pretty confident, and maybe it is crimson-colored glasses, Samuel Ogazi will make himself a national champion tonight in the 400-meter men's 400-meter final. With that, I do have a voicemail. We want to highlight the voicemails. It's a little should have put this right at the start, Dad. I'm sorry. Excuse me.
No.
Just got caught. Just got caught swallowing a little bit. We got a voicemail, 205-462-7340, extension 800. This is my father talking NCAA track and field.
Hey, Joe, it's your dad. Been hearing you mention the NCAA track and field championships a couple times this week. I know that's going on right now in Eugene. And that always brings up special memories for me. My last year as a student assistant coach at the University of Georgia was 1983, quite a long time ago. But that particular year, we had 4 freshmen that placed 3rd in the 4x100-meter relay. 2 guys from Georgia, Stanley Blaylock from Northside Atlanta and Neil Jesse from Americus, Georgia, and 2 internationals, Norman Edwards from Jamaica and Lester Benjamin from Antigua. Those guys really worked well together, and they made our best relay, that relay that did not include the biggest name on our track team, Herschel Walker. 83 was also, kind of a big year in the SEC. Calvin Smith was a great center from Alabama that went on to make the Olympic team. Willie Gott was a great hurdler from Tennessee that went on to make an Olympic team. It was just a really special time. But the bigger story was my first year as a graduate assistant, 84. Those same 4 guys went to Eugene and won the NCAA championship in the 4x100 relay. They ran 39:39, which is a time that would still hold up today very well. The NCAA meet was just starting to become very international when those guys came through. The fact that we had two internationals on that relay team was kind of indicative of the whole track meet. And you look at the track meet today, there are as many internationals for these different teams as there are Americans. And so the NCAA meet really is kind of a proving ground for a lot of these guys. It's become a launching point for pretty successful professional careers in track and field for a lot of these guys. Out of those four guys that won that NCAA 4x1 relay, Benjamin, the Antiguan, went on to long jump for Antigua in the 84 games, and Norman Edwards, the Jamaican, actually made the semifinals in the 100 for Jamaican's Olympic team in 84. So it was a special group, a special time to be involved with that particular program. And the fact that the track meet's back in Eugene this year, you know, does bring back special memories. Anyway, hope you enjoy the track meet. Talk to you soon.
That's my dad on the voicemail line, Mason.
That was interesting because I was not familiar or not aware that the, I guess, I don't want to say like shift, but it kind of seemed like that's what it's been towards like more international focus, more recruiting internationally and things. Did not realize it went back that far. I kind of figured this was a more recent, within the last 15, 20 years kind of thing.
Well, 1983 was only 15 years ago.
Oh, sure. You're right. Yeah, I forgot.
I'm stuck in 2000. I'm stuck at 01.
But yeah, it's just, it's very interesting because, you know, I think now we're seeing it more with other sports. You know, you're seeing college basketball, especially international players are making a much bigger splash now than they ever have been. And obviously a lot of them just go straight to the NBA and things like that. But regardless, it's becoming a much more international, you know, a lot of sports are kind of going that way. And it's interesting to me that track, I guess, maybe was one of the first ones on the cusp of that. Because, yeah, if you asked me how to give you a guess on what percentage was what percentage of the athletes competing at the, you know, NCAA, whatever, tournament or whatever it is, finals or international, I would estimate it was very, very high.
Yeah, so I appreciate that giving us some insight right there. We always want to take your voicemails at 205-462-7340, extension 800. I particularly look, I love Dax calling, and Dax is going to call again soon. We've been chatting, I know that, in kind of DMs here and there. Busy guy with National Guard and stuff, and we're working really hard. I love all the voicemail, but like when I can get a perspective that I don't have.
Sure.
I love it even more. So if you're an older listener, feel free to call. It's a 5-minute time limit. You can say whatever you want to say. We'll get you on here. We'll respond to it. Give us a perspective. Look, we say a lot of hooey on this show. If you hear some hooey that you don't agree with, feel free to call that voicemail line and disagree or enlighten us. Because really I've got my opinions. I've got my takes, but any more education that I can have to refine them is welcomed at 205-462-7340, extension 800. You'll be able to see these athletes on ESPN. I believe it's starting at 6 o'clock. It's either 6 or 7 o'clock. I'm not looking at it right here, but you'll be able to see these athletes. And look, Ogazi's final is scheduled to go off at 8:02. If you want to watch just one thing, it's a one lap race. You don't have to sit there and watch the 10,000 meters for 27 minutes or whatever. It's a one lap race. We're hoping he comes in at what, 43? What was his qualifying time? Sam Ogazi, 400 meter semifinal. Let's find out his qualifying time was on Thursday, 44.77. So give this man 45 seconds, please. Give the you're all Alabama fans. Give this man 45 seconds of your time tonight. You can look. I know wrestling's on some SmackDown right there. You're gonna be watching USA right there after the first hour, and you're like, okay, what are we gonna do in the second hour? Just pop over to ESPN, 45 seconds, and watch Ogazi smoke everybody and win a national championship.
We have any future? NXT stars or anything on the Alabama track and field teams? Anybody you can think of the top?
There ain't no Obafemi, I'll tell you that. Ah, the Ruda. Did you watch him on Tuesday?
I saw the clips online. I didn't have to watch the full thing, though. But the clips that I saw, he continues to look like just the most monstrous human being that's ever been a human being. He's awesome.
They cannot bring him to the main roster because he will just destroy everything. And it's like, well, we like all these main roster guys. The issue is with NXT is like the men's roster is not quite good enough to hang with him.
Yeah.
They bring in this fella, Jasper Troy, on Tuesday. And Jasper Troy won the LFG show, Legends and Future Greats. Sure. He was Booker T's like pet project. Okay. And this guy, Jasper Troy, is bigger than Obafemi. And they had a battle. They had, and of course, it's a show. I get it. But like in the show, Jasper Troy took Obafemi to the limit. And basically, he's throwing him all around. But the ruler prevails. The ruler gets a couple big power slams at the end and gets a pin and just like escapes the back. Like,
I'd like to see him just like, I feel like he could do it, you know, throw him in the ring with someone a little smaller, just kind of pick him up and throw them directly into the crowd. Just ride it, just toss him right over the ropes.
Hey guys, you paid a lot of money here. Go to the hospital.
Yeah, that'd be pretty sweet.
Absolutely. So yes, the ruler, Obafemi, former shot put, SEC shot put champion, for the Crimson Tide. You can see him on Tuesday nights on NXT and on select the premium live events on WWE. I got one more topic for us, Mason, and we're going to go into all things Bama. And this has nothing to do with Alabama sports at all, but it's a Friday, and our man Theo Fernandez has been talking about the NBA Finals. Yes. Theo on Monday basically told us, it's 1-1, but the Pacers are out of moves. There's no more pivots that they can make. The Thunder are too deep. And I said, you know, Rick Carlisle is a really good coach. Sure. You know, Tyrese Halliburton, you're also going two games back to Indiana. I said, you don't think that it's at least going to be a split? He said, no, when I come back next week, the series is going to be all but over, 3-1 when I come back next week. Well, next game goes off, and the Pacers win, 2-1. Now, this will not be any analysis of the game because ask me how much I watched. Zero.
Yeah,
I was watching NCAA track and field.
Did not catch much of the of game three myself. I saw a very, very like a little bit of maybe the second quarter. I think I turned it on for a second on my second monitor while I was playing video games, and then it started making my game run poorly, so I turned it off.
But you got an issue in the NBA.
It sounds like it.
I don't really. This issue is partly why I haven't watched any playoffs, not just the finals. Like I watched 20 seconds of the finals of in game one, the last 20 seconds, Halliburton getting his shot right there. But that was literally the only part of the playoffs that I've watched. And I've got basketball friends who are sitting there talking about how good the playoffs have been, but they're NBA, real NBA heads. You got a real issue with ESPN and NBA media, especially when on, what was it, the Thursday when it started? Wednesday. Wednesday was the first night of the NCAA tournament, NCAA outdoors. It was Wednesday.
Yeah, because Wednesday was a finals game.
Right. All my days run together right now this week. Wednesday, Thursday, today is Friday. So on Wednesday was that game, and I'm watching the men's NCAA outdoor track and field. Mm-hmm. As soon as the track and field goes off, we'll send you back to Sports Center. Okay. They send us to Sports Center, and there was a finals game on tonight? Oh, it's over? The Pacers won. Okay, good. You're doing a horrible job marketing your sport. You're doing and as soon as you go back to the desk, you've got talking heads, and there were no ex-athletes on this part of the panel, but they were only on the panel for a couple minutes, and they're talking about how good the game was, and they're like, it doesn't matter that nobody's watching it. We enjoyed it. It doesn't matter that you're not watching it. It does matter that we're not watching it because your sport is at a bit of a crossroads, and I think it's because you have way too many ex-athletes in media. Way too many ex-athletes who don't know that so many people, this is the concept for media that drives me crazy. Mason Woods, you are a thermostat. You are not a thermometer. You set the temperature. You don't take the temperature. Now, of course, there's a little nuance. There's a little bit of both. You got to kind of give and take there. You can't always be setting the temperature and tell everybody that it's that you're turning to 57 degrees and cool and have a great time. And them say, well, it's actually 98 degrees. No, you can't do that. But you got so many ex-athletes in the media that are, well, LeBron's not in it. Why would I care? I don't care. I don't really care. It's not a big not the Celtics. It's not the Lakers. It's not the Knicks. So who cares? Oh, little old Indiana, little old Oklahoma City.
Yeah.
You've got too many Kendrick Perkins types. You got too many Paul Pierce types. Mm-hmm. You got too many
two names that pop right
up. Right, right. You've got too many. Like, it just.
Yeah, I think the issue is it's not necessarily too many athletes. It's too many dumb athletes.
Too many. Well, you don't. Your job is to sell me this series.
Mm-hmm.
You're working for ESPN. You're talking about the ratings. All the ratings are so bad. Blah, 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 blah. You are Monday morning quarterbacking the ratings by saying, "Well, I don't know why these ratings are so bad. It's got to be because it's small market teams. It's got to be because there's no LeBron or Steph Curry. No other reason.
Mm-hmm.
No, the reason is you haven't sold me on anything." Now, the marketing is horrible as far as knowing when the games are. Like on ESPN, while I'm watching NCAA track and field, you probably should pop up some graphics that on ABC, our sister station, the NBA. If you're looking for the NBA finals tonight, it's on ABC. And now, granted, I can surf on my clicker. Yeah. I can, but we're a microwave society. You got to put that bleep right in my face.
Sure. It's weird to me. I don't think that these networks understand that, like, social media and things, you know, likes and clicks and views, those do not translate to viewers on television.
No.
At all. Just because someone likes a clip of Kendrick Perkins looking like an idiot on SportsCenter does not mean they're going to go watch SportsCenter tomorrow. You can't continue to cater to that kind of stuff by getting these people on these broadcasts who just say goofy things for the sake of making a clip out of it. Because you're not going to retain any viewership. You're not going to get anybody new who wants to watch it. I think, Inside the NBA with Chuck and Shaq, like, that show has a dedicated viewer base of people that watch it just about every time it's on, mm-hmm. because they love the content on there. Those guys, they have found their niche and they roll with it.
Like, and Kenny Smith will break down the basketball, yes, and Chuck will break down the everything. They'll sell you on why you should like these teams.
You've got Ernie as the straight man, you know, you got Shaq and Chuck berating each other constantly, and then Kenny kind of comes in with, like you said, the analysis sometimes. It's a great, they have a perfect panel of guys. I know there's a lot of athletes on there, but I don't know, they've really crafted out
you don't want to know why I think that is? Because Ernie Johnson keeps him in line, keeps him driving, keeps the boat driving, and knows, okay, when to back off and let Chuck and Shaq kind of mess around, have their fun, but keeps the train driving. What are we here for? We're here to make the NBA interesting. We're here to not poo-poo the fans. We're here to not poo-poo these small markets. Oh, can we make fun of Reggie Miller because the Indiana Pacers are in it? Of course we're going to do some of that. But we'll tell you why you should be watching Halliburton and SGA, and why these two players might be your two leading young players in the NBA. Sorry, Anthony Edwards, but, like, they might be taking the mantle. Yeah. Like, LeBron's going to retire soon. Maybe next year, maybe 3 years. I mean, I know he's on all kinds of, you know,
I think he's desperately trying to make it to when his next son can make it to the NBA, which should be after next year. He'll be eligible at least. I think he's going to Arizona this year.
Okay, perfect. But I think that his career is on the back nine. Yes. We're on the last few holes here. Mm-hmm. We're teeing up on 17.
Still very, very good.
Yeah, of course.
But it's obvious the decline.
And you've got these young players like Anthony Edwards. You've got young players like SGA. But instead, all y'all want to do is make fun of Jokic's weight and the way that he plays old man basketball. But really, you should be celebrating. It just drives me crazy. I think you've got too many ex-athletes who don't really understand the role of media and instead are thinking, well, I quit playing ball, so I'm just going to this is the next easiest thing. This is an easy transition, and of course, an easy way to get a high-paying job and to stay relevant. Oh, yeah, yeah. Put Tim Legler out there and let him run some film. Yes, absolutely. Let him run some film. Let him show Rick Carlisle's concepts. Yeah. And, like, You could sell a college basketball fan on this series. You absolutely could because of the small market, but also because of the depth, because of the way the coaches coach, the way they implement strategies. Like, you heard Theo on Monday, and I thought, man, maybe I will watch some of this stuff.
Yeah.
But I need a little more programming. I need a little – look, we're all being programmed. We're all being brainwashed. I need you to brainwash us a little bit better if you want us to watch these NBA finals. Now, as I say that, when's the next game? Is it Saturday or is it tonight? ESPN. See, like, come on, Joe.
Saturday?
It's going to be – how about tonight at 7:30 on ABC?
It's going to be a 25-point game.
Maybe. But I'll tell you this, Oklahoma City's going to win.
Yeah.
I told Theo, I said, Eagle, oh, it's going to be 3-1. I said, brother.
That's certainly the way it looked after game two.
Yes, but use a little bit of your brain power. It's the NBA. It's going to go 7 games, and we're going to get all of our commercials in.
I think another problem is, and I don't know, this is maybe a stupid thing to say, but like, it's just the players have gotten just too good. Like, you know, they've gotten too good. It's almost not fun to watch sometimes when they're playing the absolute maximum efficiency level of basketball they can possibly play. And it's just kind of like, man, you know, this is why I like college basketball more. There's a little bit of chaos to it. There's a little bit of uncertainty at times. You're never going to like, I guess you can't really say a league is doing bad because it's too good. That's a dumb thing to say. But like, I do think that is a portion of it where like the players are almost too skilled and everyone is too focused on, hey, let's completely maximize the absolute most efficient possible way that we can bring the ball up the court and score. It's just like, I miss the little bit of chaos.
So we will see if we get the NBA finals on tonight. I'm going to be watching Samuel Ogazi. That's what I'm doing.
I'll probably watch some of it.
And we'll see if we can mix in a little Friday Night SmackDown and have a great day. So it's going to be a big weekend. The College Baseball World Series also starts this week. Starts today. I will be pulling for both Arkansas and LSU to flame out, go 0-2, and let one of these underdog teams end up winning a national championship.
I did see that LSU was holding the Jello Shot record current or Jello Shot lead currently with 525.
It Rockos.
A good probably 200 more than the next school in second place, I think.
3 hours ago, Rockos has it at 525 for LSU. Next one is 385 Murray State. Good okay. for y'all. Arkansas or Louisville at 298. Coastal Carolina at 277. Arkansas 235. Oregon State is at 69. Nice. Arizona is at 55. And UCLA doesn't drink any alcohol or doesn't like the Jello shots is at 39.
I can respect that. At least I've not seen it this season. Maybe it's still happening. But, you know, it felt like last year, the year before, the last couple of years, a lot of it had just turned into, oh, big businessman comes in and spends $10,000 on that's Jello what, shots and nobody actually drinks them. But they technically get credit.
Right. That's what Clay Travis did last year.
Yeah.
Give me X thousands of dollars and I don't even think that he was even there for Tennessee.
It feels like maybe that's not happening as much this year. It's maybe more, maybe a little bit more legit.
LSU in 2023 won this Jello Shot Challenge, I think is what I'm looking at. Yeah. 68,888.
Yeah. See, nobody drank those. Those didn't get those.
They're just getting spoiled.
Yeah.
They're just going in the trash. Well, that's going to do it for our show today. We appreciate everybody who's joined us. Appreciate my dad on the voicemail line at 205-462-7340. We appreciate you on the comments. You can leave us a comment, question, query, or complaint at JoeGaither6, at Bama Central, at MAWoods_ on the Bama Central Facebook page. We will see you on Monday. We will find out what's going on over the weekend. How many national championships? I'm thinking two. I'm thinking Ogazi wins the 400, and I'm thinking Doris Lemon-Galay wins the 3,000-meter steeplechase tomorrow. So you get two individual national championships, and maybe you're pulling for a 4x400-meter medal for the men's. Finish third, which is going to be tough, real tough. But we will watch that over the weekend. We will keep up with the recruiting updates over the weekend. We've got three short videos in the tank for three recruits that may or may not commit. If they do, you'll see them on social media. If they don't, then you're just going to have to wait. So we'll talk to you on Monday on the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central and BamaCentral.com.
Thanks for joining us on today's edition of the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central. Keep up with Joe on all his social media pages at JoeGaither6. Subscribe, rate, and review the show on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, and be sure to read us daily at BamaCentral.com.